Pump it up, pump it up, pump it up.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's have some fun. Have some fun. Here we go. Here we go. We'll do it. Here we go.
Mix it up. Mix it up.
Time is now.
20 stack fat, plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic.
I like it. Gotta let that run.
A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you break me, kid. I'm harder than
There it is. How you doing, Rob? Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports and 12, man. Man, what a beautiful night today. As always, is February the 11th. We are ripping. We are ready to get this party started. I'm Andre Peterson, obviously. Talking Sports Hulk. Let's check in with my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, couldn't be better, man. Feeling great. Ready to get this party started. How about you?
Pretty good. So, you know, we always...
Well rested? Got that nap in?
I did get a quick nap in, so hopefully I'll get my bearings here and we'll have some fun too. But as always, I want to throw out a couple of numbers. If you want to call into the show, all that fun stuff, the number to call into the show, as we always do, we invite you guys to definitely do that. It's obviously 424-243-9519. As always, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. If you want to follow us via Twitter, it's at number 12. THMA and Sports, that's our Twitter handle, as well as we are also on Facebook. So to follow us on Facebook, you can do two things. You can literally type in Talking, you know, obviously facebook.com/TalkingSports12Man, or if you put 12 Man Sports in the search, our page will pop up. So that is what we do. And Rob, I think you got the topics. Is that pretty correct? One topic show is the NFL mock draft coverage. Is that what you got down? Is that correct?
We talking NFL mock draft, people. Get excited about your teams. NFL mock drafts. Or if you want to talk about some free agency, if you want to call and talk about NBA, if you want to call and talk about the Sochi Olympics, you can call and talk about whatever you want. But if we're starting topics, it's going to be draft related.
You know, that's really easy for me, man. It makes it simple, obviously, one thing. And this is what we do. So I think, Rob, we've been talking about this, you know, and I always give you a lot of props because you definitely do a good job as far as putting together that mock draft. And I want to say the past couple times we've done this, we were going through, and you know, we're a big fan of definitely listening to the archive shows. We definitely dive into everything you guys are talking about as far as just kind of each pick by pick is what we did. And last week it was fun. We had a chance to kind of do the first top 20 picks. And I think we were able to kind of, you know, dissect it, kind of talk about what the reason why you had decided to go in a lot of directions. And it always changes too, so that's a good thing. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, this is your first one, so I'm kind of curious to see how you had everything going on too. So anyway, I think the last time we were talking about it, we had Miami. They were getting Cyrus Kalonjo, and we had Cedric I'm going to butcher his last name. I think it's Obohai, but from Texas A&M. We'll get that pretty much going, too. But now we're going to talk about the next couple of picks here, Green Bay, and kind of what's happening, too. So let's kind of talk about that and your thoughts. So if you're the Packers here, you know, JerMichael Finley had some injuries last year, and you have them probably taking a great, great tight end. If they actually get this particular pick, I'm sure they're going to be happy as well. You have to pick in Eric Ebron, the talented tight end from North Carolina. Obviously, if you get him, Aaron Rodgers has another weapon. Kind of tell us about your thoughts about him going in this particular part of the draft, sir.
Yeah, just so our listeners will know as well, of course, this is the anybody that hasn't followed us over the last few years, I mean, we will probably put together about four or five different mock drafts prior to the actual draft, which this year is going to be in early May, I think sometime around May 7th through the 9th, instead of the latter part of April. And obviously, you know, we have NFL combines coming up here in a couple of weeks. You'll probably start to see a second mock draft right after the combine. Some of my ratings will be adjusted a little bit based on the combines. So obviously this is just us having a little fun with these mocks. So this is my early projections. But obviously there are going to be a few changes once we go through combines, once we go through pro day results. And also once teams, you know, fill in free agency, you know, that will kind of change some of the mock results too. When you start seeing teams fill in needs in free agency, that will kind of change their focus a little bit on the draft on certain positions. So just to give, you know, our listeners a little background, but getting back to the pick of Green Bay and Eric Ebron, this guy has an opportunity that I believe to be an explosive NFL tight end. And perfectly, I believe he's worthy of somewhere around a 10 to 15 pick if necessary. And as you mentioned, we're not even sure if JaMychal Finley is going to play football again as of right now. We hope, you know, he's able to heal and get that opportunity to play. But Mike McCarthy liked these pieces in his offense, give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. And as you mentioned, this guy is extremely talented. And I think he's got the type of talent as a Jimmy Graham personally. So he can be a very explosive type player for this Packers offense.
I like the pick, too. I think you did a good job because, like you said, he can step right in. He definitely warrants to be a higher pick, but just kind of circumstances, you know, a lot of defensive players. But like you said, he can go anywhere, like you said, from 10 or a percent or above, too. But Green Bay, you talked about another – they pick right here, Rob. Dare I say they're kind of striking lightning twice whenever they got to Aaron Rodgers in kind of similar circumstances a couple of years ago, too. So just a great move. If they can kind of we talked about a couple of players that seem to fit perfectly, you know, hand meets glove in certain scenarios. So this is another one of those situations as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this would be a great pick. You can watch the Steelers possibly looking to get him at 15. Currently, I have the Steelers going with Marquise Lee. But obviously, the Steelers are definitely needed some a jolt to their offense, so they definitely need some weapons.
Let's talk about the number 22nd pick. You got the Philadelphia Eagles, and you know, I don't think we'll be laughing, but Clinton Dix, the safety from Alabama, is a guy that you got going in this particular situation. Even though the Eagles have added some pieces in that freaking secondary, you've got them saying that their pass defense still needs a lot of help too. So tell us your thoughts as far as and a little scouting report about this guy for sure.
Well, obviously, when you look at the Eagles and their roster, the way it's where it's configured at the moment, they're very explosive offensively, but their defense was one of the worst in the league this past year, both against the run and against the pass, and so they desperately need some help at the safety position. Ha-Ha Clinton will come in and start from day one if he's on this Eagles roster. There's no doubt about it. This team was horrible against the pass and also, of course, against the run. And Clinton could help them in both categories as well.
Now, let's talk about – I'm just going to take a step back, too, because we're another – you know, the Jets drafted another. Tell us a little about some Alabama players here. I know my guy last year that got drafted by the Jets didn't really do as well. Is that the situation where kind of he was hurt last year? Or you think, you know, like you said, Hodgson come in and definitely kind of command and earn respect whenever he first walks in as a rookie?
And what player are you referring to from last year?
Now, I'm thinking of my quarterback. Please forgive me, America. I'm losing them. I'm forgetting the name of my guy that got drafted by the Jets last year at number 9. But that's okay. We'll bring it back. I'll try to remember my guy's name, too. But that's okay. I know that it seems like Alabama has a good track record of obviously Nick Saban as far as having good defensive backs and being able to coach those guys up, too, is what I know. My God, please forgive me, Rob. I cannot remember this quarterback for the life of me. But that's okay. We'll keep moving for real. Let me talk a little bit more about the number 23rd pick, Kansas City. You've got Lewis Nix, the defensive tackle from Notre Dame. So We talked about a deep draft as far as a lot of defensive players here. Kansas City, they did a phenomenal job as far as a good turnaround with Andy Reid. And I'm kind of curious as far as if I'm Kansas City, because a couple different areas I can think they may go. You've got them taking Lewis Nick. Tell us about this pick, Rob, and possibly why they're not going offensive tackle with possibly losing Brandon Albert and or another quarterback too. So tell us about your thoughts as far as this pick for them.
Well, obviously, when you look at this team here, they play the 3-4 defense, and Lewis Nix would be a perfect fit for them and clogging up that middle. Of course, they lost Glenn Dorsey to the 49ers a year or so ago. It could be the one weak area of their defense, and they can get an opportunity to fix that. You still got to realize when you look at the offensive tackle position, they did draft Eric Fisher at the number one spot on last year. So they still believe they're okay there at the moment. And we kind of have to see where Brandon Albert, what happens with that situation in free agency. But at the moment, you're looking at an opportunity. I think when you look at Kansas City, they're one of the better offensive lines in the league this past year. Now you get an opportunity to fix that hole in the middle of their defensive line.
Got it. Great.
Nick is a huge run-stuffing, big defensive tackle, which you definitely need in that 3-4 defense.
Yeah, like you said, that'd be a perfect pick for them as well. Number 24, you've got the Cincinnati Bengals. You've got Rashid Hageman, the defensive end / defensive tackle from Minnesota. You talked about another pretty big guy. I believe he's like 6'6", sir. Pretty versatile guy. You've got them. The notes as far as in the event that Geno Atkins is not ready to start at the start of the season. So tell us a little about this pick for the Bengals.
Absolutely. You said it best right there. Geno Atkins was definitely one of the better defensive tackles, not the best defensive tackle in the league prior to him getting hurt. That was a huge loss for the Bengals' defensive line this past season. When you look at Rashid, as you mentioned, he's very versatile along the defensive line. Cincinnati Bengals run a 4-3. He can play either one of those defensive tackle positions on passing downs as well as defensive end. So he's definitely a guy you can move around the defensive line and still get maximum results from.
We like it. At number 25, we got the San Diego Chargers. Now, they were the talk of the draft last year, picking Manti Te'o. You talked about a pretty good move, and I know we gave him a lot of grief, not as much as probably the National Football League, but great pick. Once again, it comes back around. You've got them taking Cameron Irving. They kind of go offense this time, another talented offensive tackle from Florida State. Tell us a little about this pick and why you think this is a good move for them.
Well, I think this is a team that still needs help along the offensive line. There's no doubt about it. Cameron Irving is very athletic. He's very good feet. Needs to get a little bit stronger for the pro game. And obviously, they'll work on that as far as strength and conditioning and things of that nature. That could be his only weakness. Otherwise, he could probably be a top 10, top 15 pick. I think when you look at the Chargers, once again, he's got great feet already. He's nimble on his feet for an offensive lineman. He's got to get a little bit stronger for the position. I think what you can do is start him on the right side, get him a little bit stronger. By year two, you can move him over to left tackle.
Love it. You talk about San Diego. I'm telling you, if you're the GM, you should be listening to our show to kind of get some ideas. I'm just saying.
They should. They called me already.
Yeah, to help him out. I love it. Let's talk about Cleveland right here, and this is their second pick. And like I said, we don't know what's going to happen. I know you mentioned it, Rob, earlier as far as some moves, as far as free agency and some trades and whatnot, too, so we never know what's going to happen. But if we're kind of counteracting the secondary move, you had them taking Johnny Manziel, the first pick, which is fantastic. Now you come back around, and they've had a pretty good defense, but now if you add Kelvin Benjamin, very, very talented wide receiver from Florida State. This may be a scary team, Rob. And then, obviously, maybe add another running back here. You maybe have the triplets coming back, too. So tell us about this pick. I think another fantastic move if they're following along and getting this particularly talented wide receiver.
Yeah, when you look at this team, you already got another good receiver in Josh Morgan, who's really come on the scene last season. And then the tight end that just came out of nowhere in Jordan Cameron. So I think with some of these pieces, you're starting to put together an offense that you can be proud of in Cleveland. And you got to remember, this team already has a pretty good offensive line, too, with Joe Thomas, one of the better left tackles in the league, still pretty young. You can add some pieces. And I can tell you what, as a Saints fan, you got Cleveland picking 26. The Saints could definitely use a player like Kelvin Benjamin at the very next pick at 27. But I have him going right before us, and that we would just miss out on him. But I tell you, this guy's got great size, 6'4", 6'5", and he's got speed to go along with that size. And he can actually return kicks at that size, too. So it's an amazing prospect, and I think this would be a great pick. Great possession receiver, too, knows how to, position, almost know how to box players out like basketball players do to use his size to his advantage. So I think this would be a nice change of pace from what you have already in Josh Morgan and Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, like I said, if you're Cleveland, I think you're definitely taking notes right about now, because this is a great way to bring some more excitement to that particular team. And, you're kind of striking gold here twice after getting Manziel. That's the route you go. And then also Duke Kelvin Benjamin, like you said. You saw a lot of his skills on display whenever they played in the national championship game, for sure, versus Auburn.
Since we got a little time here, I want to just backtrack a little bit here regarding Johnny Manziel here.
Sure.
I know we may have talked about this on a couple of our previous shows. But the fan base down there in southeastern Texas, where the Houston Texans are, they are screaming for the Texans to take Manziel. So that situation could be really interesting to see if they'll be willing. Obviously, I personally don't think Manziel is the number one QB in his draft. I still think it's Teddy Bridgewater. I think Manziel, I think he could be hit or miss as far as a pro prospect, where I think Bridgewater is, almost a 90-95% hit. And so I don't know if you want to take that risk as a number one pick, but obviously the fan base is screaming for the Texans to take Manziel number one. Now, there's a couple of reports out there that had the Texans leaning toward either Manziel or Blake Bortles as a number one pick, which I kind of think that based on my sources, Bill O'Brien is slightly higher on Blake Bortles more than he is on Johnny Manziel. So just a little FYI for our listeners, that should be an interesting situation to follow there down in Houston.
We got about 12 minutes, so, and believe it or not, Rob, I think whenever we were talking about the draft earlier, I think I'm the one that, I don't know if I brought that up to you, I was like, I think the Texans may surprise everyone, and they may go Blake Bortles, because Bill O'Brien had a chance to see Bortles kind of up close and personal whenever they played Penn State. And so I think this is a situation where, it could be a huge, huge surprise as far as them making that move, too. So, obviously, I think Johnny Manziel will kind of put fans in the seats. But Blake Bortles was kind of the pick that may be the solid, unassuming pick for them, too. So, I think no matter which way they go, it's going to be interesting. And we're not in the war room, obviously, but I think we're going to be in for an interesting draft, to say the least, for sure, sir. So we'll keep an eye on that situation, and I'm glad you're able to bring that up. Definitely, because, we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited to see how Johnny Manziel will actually prepare in the NFL, too. So it's one of those guys that could be a hit or miss for sure. So I don't know if you want to add on to that, too, as we kind of talk about our next pick, too. So we'll see how that plays out, most definitely.
Yeah, I think, like I said, when you look at him, he's definitely an exciting ball player and, could definitely add some excitement. He's great on his feet. I kind of think, any of our old-school football fans, he reminds me of a Fran Tarkenton. And where Fran Tarkenton, would just wiggle around in that pocket and was a successful ball player at his height. So I think Manziel will be that type of ball player. And I think, if Manziel turns out to be a Fran Tarkenton type player, I think you got yourself a pretty good quarterback then.
He's no Tim Tebow, that's for sure, but we'll keep it moving as always.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your squad. I've always figured out a way to get 10 people in the show, just because I just can't. Let's talk about your Saints.
Looks like you have them secretly in love with them.
No, not at all. Not at all. We're not gonna. There's a couple different ways I can go, but we'll keep it. We'll take the high road here. Let's talk about the Saints here. You got them going on the defensive front here, picking a Ryan Shazier. Hopefully, I got that correct. The outside linebacker from Ohio State. They obviously have some great pass rush from Cameron Jordan and Junior Gallet. Shazier will give them another one outside of Junior Gallet. Tell us about this pick, Robin. I'm sure they would. You know, we'll see if Sean Payton does make a move and try to get Eric Ebron from North Carolina with the impending situation with Jimmy Graham. But tell us about why you thought they'd go this route, if you're the Saints.
Well, I think, you know, believe it or not, the Saints were the only team in the NFL last year to be ranked in the top five in both offense and defense. And you know, as great as the Saints' offense has been over the last 7 or so years since Sean Payton has been there, the Saints have quite a few offensive needs, believe it or not. We need a young wide receiver that can stretch the defense. I mean, that's a need. There's a few needs along the offensive line as well that the Saints could use. Now, you mentioned a tight end position. I don't think the Saints are worried about taking the tight end in the first round. They will have Jimmy Graham back next year, whether it be in a franchise role or on a long-term contract. He will be in the Saints uniform. But here you look at an opportunity. I think you grab either whoever's the better player available between the offensive lineman, wide receiver, maybe a corner or outside linebacker. And so here you go to Ryan Shazier. The Saints were platooning at the other outside linebacker position all year last year outside of Junior Gallet. So this is an opportunity to get another guy who can not only play a little bit in pass coverage, but can also rush the passer with his speed. I think the Saints would probably like to see him get just a tad bit bigger, but this could be another great fit for Rob Ryan's defense, adding somebody with some more versatility at that outside linebacker position.
Rob is digging deep on this draft, too, because almost may not even know who Ryan Shazier is. So good pick. I'm sure they may, like you talked about, you know, add some speed here. Wide receiver could be another target for them, too. So I'm going to pause real quick. I'm going to throw out the numbers once again for those who want to call to the show. Feel free to reach us and definitely tell us your thoughts if you like the mock draft. The number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. Don't forget to post those questions as well on Facebook, on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Once again, it's facebook.com/12thmansports or put Talking Sports 12 Men. You'll find us. And finally, if you go to Twitter, at 12 Man Sports as well, and we'll be able to answer any questions that you have as well. Let's keep it moving. Carolina Panthers, another great season for them. You had them adding another weapon for Cam Newton, adding the tight end from Texas Tech, Jace Amaro, if I got that correct. Tell us about this particular pick, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, we look at this team. Obviously, Steve Smith is getting up in age, and his numbers were down tremendously last year. So your biggest weapon in the passing game was Greg Olsen, which is another tight end. And I think more and more now what you're seeing in the NFL is these tight ends are becoming tight end slash wide receivers now. And so you're just looking to get as many weapons in the passing game as possible regardless. So I think when you look at here, you can say, well, we have Greg Olsen already. But no, Amaro, you got two guys that you can also line up on the perimeter, and you can line them up inside at the tight end position. And it gives Cam Newton some guys with some size that he can hit down the middle of the field, and it seems to be the type of targets that he likes to hit in the passing game. Now, you look at this Carolina team last year, they were a winning team last year because of their defense. This team still needs some weapons along that offensive line. On the offensive side of the ball, and Jace will be able to help them out tremendously, give them another weapon.
Very well spoken, sir. Let's keep moving here. At number 29, you got New England. The Patriots are getting another talented defensive player. You talk about a deep draft, Rob. Vic Beasley, defensive end / outside linebacker from Clemson. Explosive player once again, and it seems like New England keeps reloading, sir.
Well, yeah, he's the perfect kind of player for a Bill Belichick defense. He likes guys like that with versatility, drop back coverage, rush the passer, you know, hybrid type player, as you mentioned. Perfect type player for Bill Belichick. These are the kind of guys he loves drafting, and I think he'll be a perfect fit with New England.
You are the San Francisco 49ers. You talk about a team that the rich keep getting richer. They had 15 picks last year. We'll see if they're going to stay put here and make a couple moves here. But in this particular instance, Jason Burnett, the cornerback from TCU, and they are a little older, Rob, as far as the cornerback position, and they may kind of bite their neighbors from up north, Seattle, saw the success, and they may say, you know what, we're going to get a little physical at the quarterback position. Is that why you have them picking Jason here?
Well, obviously, this is probably the one position on the 49ers roster where they're getting a little up in age, and that's the corner
mm-hmm.
position. So, obviously, this is a position that I feel like they have to get young, and they were even desperate trying to get Namdi Asamoah last year and had to cut him. And so now Jason Verrett gives them a young corner who's got great ball skills, great cover skills, and comes from a very good defense there at TCU. He can help the 49ers right away.
I love it. Let's keep it moving here. I don't know if you did this on purpose or whatever, but you sent me this mock draft. I have to check out when the date of this, because you actually had Denver picking 31st, so I'm assuming you thought that Seattle was going to win the Super Bowl. You've got Denver picking, right? Yeah, the defensive end from Oregon State, too, which is – I'll give you some foresight, man, if you pick that out pretty quickly, too. So good job, sir. I think you sent this on the 19th of January. But that's pretty good call, sir. Still spot the pick.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so, yeah, what do you think about this particular player if you're the Broncos? I'm sure you know, they have they may not need as much on the offensive side with Peyton Manning, but they may once again copy another team that copied Seattle and say, hey, man, we may get a little more explosive defensively.
Well, Denver obviously plays a 3-4 defense, and Scott is a perfect 5 technique defensive end with solid size for that position for Denver. Plays the run extremely well. At the line of scrimmage. He's strong at the point of attack, and he can help their defense out tremendously, especially against the run, and help them out. You know, he's not an elite pass rusher, but you don't necessarily need an elite pass rusher from a 5 technique defensive end. And but he definitely will hold his position down. And, you know, I'm going to say he'll be a poor man's Cameron Jordan.
Like it. We got about 2 minutes and 15 seconds here. I want to talk about the last pick, and we'll set the show up for OT. I'm pretty sure we're going to keep it moving with mock draft. Last but not least, you got the Seattle Seahawks taking Odell Beckham from your neck of the woods, a wide receiver from LSU. Percy Harvin made a huge impact. Tell us about this pick for Seattle as we get ready to wrap up the OT, or get ready to head to the OT.
Well, Odell Beckham is a phenomenal athlete. Obviously, guys have seen a lot of at LSU. And Seattle, believe it or not, they won the Super Bowl, but they can still use some weapons at the wide receiver position. I think he's even a better prospect than Percy Harvin. You saw Percy Harvin, the kind of impact he had on the Super Bowl. Beckman is a lead in the return game, exceptional receiver, runs exceptional routes. He would be an impact player for Seattle and Russell Wilson. And, well, that concludes our first round preview. We're going to get right into the second round, into our OT portion. Those of you all want to tune into that, tune in tomorrow while you have a break, the same link. So if you want to cover, listen to our second round mock draft. Meanwhile, we'll be back at our regular scheduled time on next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss that. Maybe we'll have a few more topics other than the NFL draft on next week.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So I know maybe we'll touch base on this, Rob, because I know everyone's talking about Michael Sam coming out. We may not touch on that too, but we'll see how everything plays out as far as it too. But definitely tune in. I mean, I'm enjoying this topic too, but obviously we're going to keep track as far as what's happening in the league for sure. But other than that, we will see you guys same time, same channel next week. As Rob mentioned, feel free to listen to the link, which I just posted to Facebook, and you'll be able to follow us as we get ready to do some more talking about the NFL draft. Anything else, Rob, that you want to say before we get ready to go into the OT portion?
Good night. Make sure you listen to our second round portion on tomorrow. Good night, people.
good night, people, and that is what we do. So as always, we are wrapping up the live portion. We're going to go through the archives or the OT portion of the show, and we're going to start to kick it off with the next couple of picks here, starting in round number two. And I'm thinking about we'll definitely post this to the show too, or to the page, Rob, as well too. So we'll get that out there as well. So now, if you're the Houston Texans coming back around, we're not sure who the Texans are going to draft, but at this time, you're pretty much assuming whoever it is, be it Blake Bortles, be it Sonny Vanderzelt or Teddy Bridgewater, you're assuming they're going to need some protection for that pick too. So you're going to have them following back around and taking Zach Martin, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame. So you got them saying that they need some protection. Tell us a little about Zach Martin, this particular pick.
Well, yeah, obviously he was well coached in Notre Dame. Brian Kelly did a phenomenal job with him. This is talking about a guy who wasn't very highly recruited, but was very coached up at Notre Dame and now has become a very solid NFL prospect. When you look at the Houston Texans, they're getting old along the offensive line. It was one of their major problems they had last year. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They didn't quite have the same holes in the running game. So they can definitely get somebody that can possibly grow with their young quarterback along the offensive line.
Yeah, we talked about this last time about Houston. You talked about a team that was very, very talented that just, I think their quarterback lost a lot of confidence in Matt Schaub. And, you know, that's what led to Gary Kubiak's firing, obviously. And right now, the defense, they're going to get retooled if you're the Texans. So a lot of talent, just a lot of injuries. I think if you add a couple pieces here and there, they'll be right back at it. And they may not be with the younger quarterbacks, it's going to take some time to get back to where they were. But they still got, you know, obviously Arian Foster, and they got Andre Johnson. So this team, and it's pretty solid defense with J.J. Watt. So they'll be back in the hunt for sure. Let's talk about number 34, Washington. They're actually happy now because they have their pick. And, you know, after trading all their picks for RG3. But you guys have taken Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver from Oregon State. And they've got a pretty good, you know, pretty good receivers, Pierre Garçon. So why do you have them taking Brandon Cooks here?
Well, Brandon Cooks obviously is a very good receiver who runs great routes, very smart, cerebral football player. Another guy that's very well coached by Mike Riley, coached him up. You're talking about a guy, once again, who was not a 4- or 5-star prospect coming into college, but he's done a phenomenal job. I think, you know, I'm not going to say this guy's going to be a superstar, but you're looking at a guy who I think is going to be a solid NFL receiver for 10 to 12 years. I think he can be another great possession receiver for RG3.
Love it. Cleveland, once again, we're coming back around. Cleveland, call us, man. We are,
the
like,
third pick
we are like on point. Yeah, the third pick here. You got to take a David Yankee, the offensive guard from Stanford. Stanford, like you mentioned in the comments, man, they're becoming offensive linemen. You, man, you talk about getting some great offensive linemen. No disrespect to Jonathan Martin right now, but you talk about some guys that are becoming like stout NFL players. So tell us about David.
Yeah, they're very physical players, not only, and they're smart. They know their protection schemes. I mean, so they're phenomenal prospects. And you're talking about a guy I think is going to could help this team. And Cleveland's offensive line is not bad, but this would be another prospect to add to it and, you know, to help the new quarterback. And I think the one area where Cleveland offensive line can get better is in the running game. And so you're talking about a guy who's a road grader here. We'll help them in that department.
We talked about this earlier, if you've been following us, that this is a pretty deep draft for wide receivers. You're going to get some talented wide receivers, possibly Rob, into the third round. I mean, this is a deep, deep draft. And right now you have Oakland, the Raiders, taking Allen Robinson, wide receiver from Penn State. You talk about Dennis Allen's coming in there. We're not sure as far as if he's going to be. I keep hearing some rumors too, but if you're the Raiders right now, what do you think about this pick for them? And I'm not sure who the quarterback could be as well, but we'll keep an eye on that as well too. So what's about the Allen Robinson?
Well, the area where he's strong is the speed. This guy's got phenomenal speed. And if you know the history of the Oakland Raiders, they love guys that can burn, that can fly. And this is one of those guys that can definitely do that. So they're obviously hoping that can get to one, that can stretch the passing game, and he's definitely that guy. And the Raiders, of course, they need some weapons, and this is a guy that can definitely help them stretch the defense. This is also a team that's still going to need somebody that can get them the football, too. So, you know, look for at some point here, they're going to take a chance on a quarterback in this draft, too.
Gotcha. Good stuff. So I guess they're not looking at free agency for quarterback just yet. Maybe they'll develop a young guy. Terrell Pryor, he played pretty well, Rob, but you don't think he's the answer for the Raiders at this time?
Who's that?
You don't think Terrell Pryor is the answer for the Raiders, the long-term solution at quarterback?
I don't think you can say he's the long-term answer just yet. I think you still need to do some more evaluation. I think if the right quarterback is on the board, you got to take him. But I would say the answer to that would be no.
Gotcha. We'll see, man. Rob is making some interesting calls, we'll keep moving for sure. Number 37, if I'm a Falcon fan here, I am keyed into who you have, Rob. You've got us taking Austin Seferian Jenkins, the tight end from Washington. So I'll ask you about this guy because I'm not really familiar with him, and this is why I'm going to let you spend some time with this. But also, there's another guy that I'm curious about. And, you know, we're not going to talk about a lot of things about him. I know Michael Sammons, his name has been mentioned here in Atlanta, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. So that's the two guys that I may think maybe going in this position too. But let's, first and foremost, let's attack who you have originally for us in the mock draft. And why do you think this guy could, number one, replace Tony Gonzalez in the scouting report here?
Well, obviously, he's not the athlete that Tony Gonzalez is, but he's a big tight end. He's 6'6", about 270, 75 pounds. He's actually, a tight end that can come in and help you in the running game, too. He's a very good blocker, a very good receiver, too. He just doesn't have the speed of some of the young receivers, like a Jimmy Graham, but he definitely could be a solid possession receiver. And can help them right away. He could definitely be an instant starter for the Falcons.
Gotcha. I'm glad that you kept that objective too, because like I said, I know that we're kind of eyeing the situation. I said Aaron, Donald may be a target here, defensive tackle for Pittsburgh, and or Michael Sam, pass rusher. But we'll see how that plays out for sure. So we'll come back around to that. We got some more competition here in the NFC South. Tampa Bay, Lovie Smith has taken over. And you talk about another great, great move they go this route, Trent Murphy, the outside linebacker from Stanford. So tell us about this pick. I think it would be a phenomenal move if they decided to go this direction too.
Well, I think he's the perfect outside linebacker for Lovie Smith's cover two defense. He's going to be running there in Tampa, looking for guys that can, see the field, use their eyes, and read and react, and that's the purpose of the cover two defense. You're having good range, having good speed, and he would be perfect for that position. I kind of see him as a strong side linebacker, but I think he has the versatility to move over to the weak side as well.
Gotcha. Good stuff, man. I'm liking this. Jacksonville, we're coming back around to them. I think there were some times whenever we weren't sure where they were going, right now we have them. They got their quarterback in the first round. Rob, now they turn back around. You got them taking Marcus Robinson, the cornerback from Florida, which I like. We talked about right in their backyard. Great, great pick for them.
Yeah, I mean they go Central Florida the first round. They go Florida the second round. So they go with somewhat local kids there, and obviously you're talking about Florida had two great corners. I have Purify going here in the latter part of the second round as well. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the strengths of their football team. And these are some guys that are playmakers, great cover skills, great speed, and they'll be able to help some football teams right away.
Now, you got that number 40. You got Minnesota taking a very, very talented outside linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, defensive end outside linebacker from BYU. Why didn't you think he's a little higher than Trent Murphy? I'm kind of curious as far as that. Is that just kind of he's a different stock for cover two? Or I think this guy is extremely talented too, so why did you have him going a little lower too? Like I said, he could go first round too, so I'm kind of curious as far as why you had him going this particular point in the draft, sir.
Well, these two players, they're two different type of players. Trent Murphy is an outside linebacker more for a 4-3. Well, Van Noy could be a defensive end in a 4-3, or he could be an outside linebacker in a 3-4. He's more of a pass rusher type player, where Trent Murphy's a read and react kind of linebacker. And so, yeah, they're two different type players. Van Noy is not the type of player that will fit. He's probably more suited for a 3-4, but he can also play some defensive end. And Tampa's pretty well taken care of at the defensive end position. So he would probably be more of a defensive end if he was with Lovie Smith. In Minnesota, Jared Allen is really there's a lot of debate on whether or not they're going to bring him back. He's a free agent. So that situation is going to be interesting. And Van Noy can be the type of player that can replace him.
We got about 5 minutes left in the show. We're going to keep this moving, too. We actually got right through our top 10 picks in round number two. So let's keep it moving here. And number 41, you got the Buffalo Bills. And I'm kind of curious because this pick may have a lot to do with what's happened in their free agency world. Their Pro Bowl safety, Jarius Byrd, he is a free agent. We're not sure what's going to happen with him. You know, I know the Falcons will be eyeing him as well. I'm excited about that move. But you may have them replacing Jarius Byrd with a very, very talented guy, Calvin Pryor, the free safety from Louisville. I think this is a fantastic pick. Played well in the Senior Bowl. Tell us about this particular direction, too, as well.
Yeah, Pryor could very well be taken in the first round. He's got that kind of ability as a safety here. I think Buffalo, in the event, obviously they would like to keep Jarius Byrd, but in the event they're not able to, I think they'll be ecstatic to see a guy like Pryor fall to him. Whether he's picked in the first or second round, this guy's going to start from day one in the NFL.
Love it, love it, love it. So let's move on to the Tennessee Titans. We talked about they still have some remnants, Rob, of Jeff Fisher getting these tough players. Shane Scove, inside linebacker from Stanford. Stanford's getting a lot of players drafted, sir, and I think this is a great pick, too. You talk about a guy that epitomizes toughness, leadership, a great, great fit for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, you got to like what Jim Harbaugh started there in Stanford and what David Shaw has just kind of continued. I mean, they're pretty much developing players to play in the NFL. Even though they may have not got top elite recruits, they still get a few but not many. But they develop their players, and they know how to play in the NFL as well.
I like it. I like it. So let's keep moving here. Like you said, we are sort of wrapping it in the show, but if you're the Giants, like you said, this is pretty interesting. I think we talked about this earlier. As far as their directions here, I still think there's an offensive tackle somewhere in there, but you've got them, and I think they're going to do the same. They're going to run the podium with Steven Tuitt, the defensive tackle from Notre Dame.
Yeah, you're talking about another player who's very versatile. When you look at the Giants a few years back, I mean, the defensive line was one of their strengths. But other than Justin Tuck now, it's starting to slowly become one of their weaknesses. So they definitely, when you look at that defense last year, they couldn't get any pass rush, and they couldn't cover the pass, and they couldn't protect the quarterback. And so those are all areas where they're going to need to fix if they don't have any shot to get better next year.
We got about 2 minutes, Rob. As always, I want to thank you for taking the time to put together this mock draft. I want to thank everyone for listening. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show as we get ready to talk about next week. We can keep talking mock draft forever. That's something I'm excited about, too. But I know we're going to add a couple more topics next week. But I guess get ready to wrap it up with Rob as we head into wrapping up another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Well, yeah, don't forget to join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our good friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Aloha. Don't forget, we're going to be covering more the rest of our second round mock draft. And obviously, we'll probably recap the NBA All-Star game, start previewing NFL free agency a little bit, and we're going to start getting ready for March Madness. So definitely don't miss us on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We appreciate you sticking with us, too. We're back on our regular night, as always. For Rob Ford, I am Andre Peterson. We will see you guys same time, same show next week. Good night, people.